I hate people. I've worked at this hotel for 5 years now, and do you know what one of the most common complaints is? Go on, have a guess. It's not a broken TV or a dodgy light bulb. It's finding a condom in the kettle. I kid you not. What kind of person does that? I mean, I'm on reception, so I hear the complaints, but the maids, honestly, the horrors they see. They should be paid an absolute fortune for the stuff they have to deal with. They come into contact with every bodily fluid you can think of, along with hair, nails, skin, the lot. One of the maids once found the bath had been filled with fish, and they found a shit in the mini fridge. They were doing a stock check of the fridge. Mini Pringles, M&Ms, Coke, mini bottles of booze. Oh, and a massive turd. Ugh, people really are awful. He's not in love with her. That's obvious. But why shouldn't he marry her? She isn't beautiful, but for a country doctor at his time of life, she'd make an excellent wife. She's such a clever girl, so kind and unspoilt. But no, that's not really the point at all. I understand the poor girl so well. In the middle of all this ghastly boredom, where there are no real people but just dim grey shapes drifting round, where you hear nothing but vulgar trivialities, where no one does anything but eat, drink and sleep. He appears from time to time. So different from the others, so handsome, charming and fascinating. Like a bright moon rising in the darkness. Oh, to fall under the spell of such a man. To forget everything. Stop saying you understand! You don't understand! And I hope for your sake that you never have to understand! Actually, that's not true. I've never said this out loud, but what I actually hope is that you do get to understand. You know when people say, I wouldn't wish it on anyone? That's not true. I always wish it was someone else. I always wish it was their son or their daughter. I've wished this on so many people. Friends and family, my boss at work, smiling strangers. And why? Because, yeah, I know I can't transfer my child illness into theirs. But every day, I wish it was your child or yours that was sick and not mine.
There were people in on the landing, in the other cells on the landing, women, I mean, and they were like hissing and sometimes calling, you know, things, you know, killer, murderer, bitch, murdering bitch, things like that. And then this girl above me, she suddenly spoke and she said, don't speak, she said, don't speak because I'm trying not to hurt you. I've only got 6 months left and I'm trying not to hurt you. So if you make me hurt you, I'm going to really, really effing hurt you. And she kept saying what she was going to do to me if I made her hurt me. And it was like cutting my eyes and putting bleach in my eyes. It was a lot about the eyes, actually. And that went on for about 2 hours. That was my first night in prison.
Oi, dog, get off the frog.
But I like sitting on frogs, said the dog. Frogs are all squishy and squashy, and when you sit on them, they go plurp.
You know the rules, said the cat. Cats sit on mats, frogs sit on logs, and dogs sit on frogs.
Well, I'm changing the rules, said the frog. From now on, dogs sit on logs, not frogs.
You're really getting the hang of this, said the dog.
I know, said the frog. And that's not all.
Gnus will sit on canoes, pigs will sit on wigs, and boars will sit on oars.
What will leopards sit on? Asked the dog.
Leopards will sit on shepherds, said the frog. Leopards will sit on shepherds, and cheetahs will sit on fajitas.
She lay with shut eyes, the colour of rosy flame through her lids. It was too much. She reached and put leaves over her eyes. Then she lay again, like a long white gourd in the sun that must ripen to gold. She could feel the sun penetrating even into her bones, nay, further, even into her emotions and her thoughts. Turning over, she let her shoulders dissolve in the sun, her loins, the back of her thighs, even her heels. And she lay, half stunned with wonder at the thing that was happening to her. She went home, only half seeing, sun blinded and sun dazed. And her blindness was like a richness to her, and her dim, warm, heavy half-consciousness was like wealth.
It's for the best, really, he said. But it wasn't. Not for me. How would we look after a baby? We can't even keep a houseplant alive. Ha, yeah, true, I said. And with those two words, I felt I'd completely betrayed the little life that had been growing inside me. When this happens in the movies, the guy throws his arms around the sobbing girl and says, hey, we'll try again. But there was none of that. Ben's face showed nothing but relief. God, not even that. His lucky escape almost had him punching the air. He started talking about all the cool things we could do, the exotic places we could go. But I didn't want to go bungee jumping. I just wanted to hear that heartbeat again.
I'd like to say he looked peaceful, but he didn't. More sulky, like a child who was being made to do something he didn't want to. It wasn't a peaceful death. He smelt dreadful too. Body odour doesn't really add to that sense of awe which is so desirable at a deathbed. But it's over. I've almost finished sorting out his personal effects. It's taken me a while. I found a letter to his son from his mother to be opened on his 18th birthday. Very badly written. I've disposed of it. No boy needs to know that his poor dead mother was a sentimental airhead. My friend Anthea's coming round tonight. We've been promising ourselves a little cruise for ages. Of course, cruises do tend to attract the older single man, and I'm always open to the possibility of companionship with the right man.